Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8. The Lord shows His the universal form. Text number 15. Bahuni shanti namani upani cha sutasya te guna karma nurupani tanyaham vedano jana bahuni various santi there are namani names rupani forms cha also sutasya of the sun te your guna karma anurupani according to his attributes and activities tani them aham I veda no jana not ordinary persons. Purport, this translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. For this son of yours, there are many forms and names, according to his transcendental qualities and activities. These are known to me, but people in general do not understand them. Purport. Bahuni, the Lord has many names. Advaitam, Achutyam, Anadim, Anantarupam, Adyam, Paranam, Purusham, Navayovanam, Cha. As stated in the Brahma Samhita 5:33, the Lord is one, but He has many forms and many names. It was not that because Gargamuni gave the child the name Krishna, that was his only name. He has other names such as Bhakta Vatsala, Giridhari, Govinda, and Gopala. If we analyze the Nirukti, or semantic derivation of the word Krishna, we find that no signifies that he stops the repetition of birth and death. And Krish means satartha, or existence. Krishna is the whole of existence. Also, Krish means attraction. And Da means ananda, or bliss. Krishna is known as Mukunda because he wants to give everyone spiritual, eternal, blissful life. Unfortunately, because of the living entity's little independence, the living entity wants to deprogram the program of Krishna. This is the material disease. Nonetheless, because Krishna wants to give transcendental bliss to the living entities, he appears in various forms. Therefore, he is called Krishna. Because Gargamuni was an astrologer, he knew what others did not know. Yet Krishna has so many names that even Gargamuni did not know them all. It is to be concluded that Krishna, according to his transcendental activities, has many names and many forms. Bahu bahuni santi namani rupani cha sitasya cha te guna karmanu rupani tanyaham veda no jana. For this son of yours there are many forms and names according to his transcendental qualities and activities. These are known to me, but people in general do not understand them. Krishna is named according to his qualities and his pastimes. Therefore, because his names are transcendental, along with his names are also the qualities and pastimes. Now, in our conditioned life, because names and objects are different, we cannot equate necessarily an object with qualities. Although what we're naming has qualities, but the name itself doesn't necessarily. By chanting those names, we don't necessarily experience those qualities. But when we chant Krishna's name, if we become absorbed in Krishna consciousness and actually focusing our attention and giving our love to the names of Krishna, then gradually the forms of Krishna will be revealed to us, the qualities and the pastimes, as well as his associates. This is done not by our own intelligence or by our will or by our imagination. It's done because Krishna reveals these things to us. Now, if we don't believe that Krishna exists, then we're not going to believe that Krishna can reveal these things to us. But if we believe that Krishna exists, then Krishna can reveal whatever he wants to us. It's not that Krishna is under the laws of material nature, and therefore there's some restriction to what he can reveal to us. The point is that we're under the laws of material nature if we don't take shelter of Krishna. But if we try to take shelter of Krishna, principally by following his instructions, because if we follow his instructions, or we try to follow his instructions, at least we have something to try to do. We can also meditate on Krishna's name. That's part of his instructions. And even meditate on his form, hear about his qualities and activities. But most importantly is our surrender to the instructions. For instance, how to chant, how to serve, how to think about Krishna. We have to try to utilize our active senses and our knowledge-acquiring senses and try to apply them according to Krishna's directions. And the result is, as it says, how to do it, gatta sangasya muktasya gyanavasita chetasaha yajyasharata karma samagram pravilite. The work of a man who's unattached to the modes of material nature and is fully absorbed in transcendental knowledge merges entirely into transcendence. So we have to understand the three modes. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Gyanam, what does he say? Idam te gyanam, idam gyanam apashvityam amasadharam agata sargeti nopujayante pralayana vyantante cha. Now I'm going to explain to you knowledge which is even better than everything else I've explained before. Now, and this Krishna has kept on saying that this knowledge is confidential, this knowledge is more confidential. And then finally in the ninth chapter, Krishna says, Maya Saktamanak Parata. No, actually he says, Idam Gyanam Upashityam Amasat. No, no. That now I'll explain to you knowledge, the most confidential knowledge, knowing which you'll become free from all, by knowing theoretically and by applying it, you'll become free from all the miseries of material existence. How does that verse go? Idam te ikanam akhyatam guyam ayap nikam guya.
Oh, it's about Bhagavad Gita.
Idam tute goyatamam pravaksham anushuyave gyanam vigyanam sayitam yaj gyatvamoksha se shubhat. So he says, Idam tute guyatamam. This is the guyatamam means, guya means secret, utama, the most secret. So the ninth chapter, Krishna will explain the most secret of all knowledge. Manmana bhava manvakto majyaji mam namaskuru. Mame vaishasi yuktaiva. Atmanam matparayana. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Offer your homage unto me. Or become my devotee. Offer your homage unto me. Worship me. The result is you'll come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. So this is the most confidential knowledge. But then in the 10th chapter, Krishna says, now I'm going to tell you something even more better than the most confidential knowledge. Idam te gyanama. Uya eva mahabaho shuni me paramam vachaha tadeham priyamanaya vyakshami itakamiya. Because you're very dear to me, priyaya, I'm going to tell you knowledge which is better than the most confidential. Now how can something be more than the most? Most means the most. You can't have anything more than the most. So why does Krishna say, Buya eva mahabaho? Again, I'm going to tell you something. Buya eva mahabaho. Shuni me paramam vachaha tithyeham priyamanaya vyakshmi hitakamiya. That this is even better for you than the most confidential. Why? Because if we hear, we should manmana, we should always think about Krishna. We're not going to do it. We could try to do it, but we're not going to do it. Not all the time. We can think about Krishna sometimes. That's why we have a class. So we can hear about Krishna, and maybe we'll think about him when we hear about him. But normally, as conditioned souls, we don't walk around just thinking about Krishna. That's very advanced. The bus is coming towards us when we're crossing the street. Generally, we don't think about Krishna. We think about jumping out of the way. If we hear the sound of a firecracker, we don't think, oh, that's the sound of ether. Krishna's the sound of ether. We think about someone just lit a firecracker. So why is Buya eva mahabaho shinime paramam vachaha tateham priyamanaya vyakshamihita kamiya? Why is this better or more benefit? Because we're looking around in the material world and Krishna has created these different by his energies, he's created these different phenomena, but we don't realize who's behind the phenomena. So now in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will tell us about some of his principal opulences. Like if you look at a painting, normally people would think about who painted it. They wouldn't think, oh, it just came about. If you saw this painting of Gopal and Mother Jasoda, do you think, oh, someone says, who painted? Oh, no one painted, it just came about. There was a void, and then out of the void, the painting came. A little crude, Krishna was an ape, and Mother Jasoda was an apis, but gradually they evolved, and the painting evolved along with them. Will a reasonable person believe that out of the nothingness came a mother ape and a little boy ape, and the painting evolved, and now we have Gopal and Mother Jasoda, and maybe it'll evolve in the future. They'll turn green or something. No, we understand that this painting was painted by someone, and they were painting it on. They were conceiving of something when they were painting it. So similarly, if we think that this universe came out of nothing, the most magnificent painting, artistic craftsmanship, and we don't think about the person behind it, that's called illusion. Now we've been conditioned to think when the sun rises in the sky, it's all just by accident. But no one can create such an accident. Therefore, a reasonable person has to understand that a superior person must have created that sun and its orbit. Just like we see a watch, we understand that a reasonable person, an intelligent person created it, but they're creating it according to the movements of the sun. So who's better, the people who created the watch or the person who's created the big watch, the sun, and all the planets in their orbits? So in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will explain about his opulences. Aham, Atma, Gudakesha, Sarabhuteshya, Stita, That I'm the self, Arjuna, dwelling in the hearts of all living entities. Now, who can deny that someone's giving us intelligence? Someone's giving the ant intelligence too. Someone's giving all living entities intelligence. That intelligence is not in this microphone. It's not in this book, in one sense. But that intelligence is all pervading. So who's giving us intelligence? Some people have more of it, and some people have less of it. Sometimes we have remembrance. Sometimes we can't remember anything. Sometimes we can't forget something we want to forget. So who's giving us remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness? Just like a father instructs his son, or the teacher instructs his student. So the all-pervading super soul is present in everyone's heart, giving remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Now, for an intelligent person, it's obvious, but for a less intelligent person, we have to try to understand it. And therefore, the scriptures are to give us understanding of what ultimately is obvious, so we can accept it. So that's why it's more helpful for us, because we're looking at the material world all the time, thinking that there's something apart from Krishna. We maybe remember Krishna. We think, oh, Krishna is a coward boy in Goloka Vrindavan, but we don't think he's also present in my heart. We think he's far, far away in Goloka Vrindavan. We don't understand he's also very near us all. Anyone remember that verse in Bhagavad Gita? Although he's far, far away, he's also near. Prabhupada once said we should study Bhagavad Gita very carefully. This is in the chapter, Nature and Joy and Consciousness. Pahiranantashtabhutanam acharyam charyam evacha sukshmatattva vigeyam tarastam chandriketracha. The Supreme Truth exists outside and inside of all living entities, the moving and the non-moving. Because he is subtle, he is beyond the power of the material nature to see or to know. Although far, far away, he is also near to all. So Krishna is not just in Goloka Vrindavan, he's in our heart. Ishvara sarabhutanam ridesha arjuna tishtati brahmanyan sarabhutani yantarudani maya. He's directing the wanderings of all living entities who is seated as a machine made of the material nature. So we all have an intimate relationship with Krishna. Even the ant has an intimate relationship with Krishna. Unfortunately, the ant is simply desiring to get some sugar, and Krishna's business is just to tell the ant where it is, give him the intelligence. And here comes the big mountain about to fall on him, so the ant has to run away. But Krishna is there to help all of us. He's there personally for all of us. It's not that we're going to discover Krishna. Krishna's already there. We're just going to wake up, that's all. And then Krishna says, even better than the knowledge I just gave you about how everything is related, big things related to me, now he's going to, in the 11th chapter, he's going to reveal everything to, the universal form to Krishna. So Arjuna can actually see how these different energies are all coming from Krishna. And then in the 12th chapter, Krishna says, Arjuna asks a question in the 12th chapter. But anyhow, in the 14th chapter, Krishna says, Idam te ganamakyatam guyam guyatama maya parambuya pravakshami ganam ganam utama yajgatva muniya sarve param siddhim itogata idam idam gyanam phashi idam vasadharam agata sarge pinam prachayante pralayana vyantanti chai. Param buya pravakshami gyanam gyanam utama yajgatva muniya sarve param siddhimito gata. So param buya pravakshami, again, param, even better than I've explained before. Parambuya Pravakta, Gyanam Gyanam Uttam. I'm going to explain the highest knowledge, even better than any knowledge I've explained before. Gyanam Gyanam Uttamam. Yajgyatva Muniya Sarve. Knowing this knowledge, many of the Munis, the great sages, attain liberation. Parambuya Pravakshami Gyanam Gyanam Uttamam. Yajgyatva Muniya Sarve. Param Siddhim. They have obtained perfection by knowing this knowledge. And what is it? The three modes. The ordinary three modes. Goodness, passion, ignorance. Krishna will explain it to us. Why is it better than any other knowledge? It's not better than pure devotional service, but it's better than any other knowledge because we need knowledge to get out of the three modes of material nature. We have to know what we're trying to get out of. And that's knowledge. To get out of the three modes of material nature is knowledge. And of course, we get out of it is mam chayo vyabhacharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitam brahma bhuyayo kalpate. One who's engaged in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the three modes of material nature and comes to the level of Brahman. But we have to know what we're transcending, otherwise we won't know if we're transcending. If we think sleep, laziness, and illusion is our friends, and we think that hankering for things and lamenting when we don't get them is our natural state of being, if we think when I'm peaceful, I should become agitated. If I think material knowledge is just boring to hear about the soul and the super soul, it's boring. Then I have to understand how the material modes of material nature affecting me and have to do what's necessary, like wash our hands before we eat and afterwards, try to organize our lives to think about Krishna. Now Krishna says, Manmana, think about me. He doesn't say, organize your life to think about me. But that's in the mode of goodness, regulation. And that's how we think about Krishna. That's how we become his devotee. So we have to know about how the material nature is affecting me and how to transcend it. So that we can actually, when we hear Krishna's name, then we think about it everywhere because we see Krishna everywhere. Sarabhutastamatmanam, sarabhutanechatmani, ikshite yoga yukdama, sarvatra samadarshanaha. The true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. So if we treat everyone as if Krishna is in our heart and that he's the Lord of the heart, we treat everyone as a servant of Krishna appropriately, then obviously then we'll see things in relation to Krishna. And if we don't treat people in relationship to Krishna, then Krishna will never remember it, how this person is related to Krishna. So if we don't carefully learn how to deal with all living entities carefully, especially the devotees, then we'll never see them in relationship to Krishna, and Krishna will remain just an abstraction to us, a theory. But we have the association of devotees to learn how to practically deal with them, and the six loving exchanges especially, so that we can remember Krishna when we see them. And we can treat them appropriately so Krishna is pleased going to these loving exchanges. And if we forget that, under the three modes of material nature, if we lust after someone and we get what we're lusting for, then we become greedy for more material enjoyment. And eventually we'll get sick of it and become angry at them, become frustrated. They can't satisfy us like they used to. So we don't see others in relation to Krishna and deal with them accordingly, then we'll see them in relation to the modes of material nature and we'll wind up getting frustrated with them eventually. Our hankering will turn into lamentation after some time. So it's not an option to learn how to deal, to see in everything we're doing, what mode of material nature am I working under? If I think everything I'm doing is perfect, then I'm in the mode of ignorance, obviously. We don't know what perfection really is. And if I carefully observe what I'm doing according to the three modes, if I'm at least working goodness, then I can add Krishna to it. And even if I'm chanting Hare Krishna, still I should try to add goodness to it so that the chanting becomes pure. If I'm working ignorance and passion, if that's my consciousness, and even when I'm chanting, we can see the result won't be very profound. But if I work in goodness, if I come to goodness, or if I can get out of ignorance even to passion and from passion to goodness, then the chanting will become, the names of Krishna, his forms, his qualities will be revealed to me profoundly, not just superficially. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? We can go on with this, but anyway, stop on time. Any questions or comments? Think hard. Actually, one of the most peaceful times of the day is when you ask for questions. Everyone becomes so silent.
Hearts to hear his voice, that we reach perfection.
Yeah, sure. As Prabhupada once said, if you take a shower, you increase your intelligence. If we work in the mode of goodness, then we'll be able to hear Krishna's voice. Just like the pond is, if you have a pond and on the bottom there is a golden ring, but there's also mud on the bottom. So if you stir up the mud, you won't be able to see the golden ring. But if you just let the mud settle and not stir it up more, then eventually you'll be able to see the golden ring. So if we work in the mode of goodness, then we'll be able to hear Krishna's voice more clearly. So even if we wash our hands before we eat, that's the mode of goodness. That means we're more in contact with Krishna when we're doing it. If we do it because we've been told to do it, or even if we just do it because someone told us to do it, we may forget, maybe our mother told us to do it or something, then we're more in the mode of goodness, and therefore we're hearing Krishna's voice louder. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thanks for the lecture. So in the morning we read from the book Nectar of teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and there it is said that in Kali Yuga the glorious devotee is more rare than to get a body of Brahma or Shiva. So how can we understand it in Kali Yuga?
I don't understand it. I don't know where. What does that mean? What does it say exactly?
It says that it's more rare to be a glorious devotee in Kali Yuga.
A glorious devotee.
Yes.
Not just an ordinary devotee, a glorious devotee. Yeah. Well, to be a pure, means an uttama adhikari, the topmost devotee who's absorbed in Krishna consciousness. That's what it's muktanam narayana parayana. What is that verse? That Kotishvats, well, Krishna, Manushanam Sahasreshu, Yaschit Kardi Siddhaya, Yatatam Api Siddhanam, Kaschimam Viti Tatvataha. And many thousand among men, one may be endeavoring for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So to come to the platform that Srila Prabhupada was on is quite rare. Because it requires many, many births. Bhavanam janmanamante, gyanamamam prabhadite, vasudeva sarvamiti, sarvahatma sudurlabha. After passing through many, many births and deaths, one whose knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to the Supreme Lord of everything and all that be. So that takes a lot of experience to come to the platform of dedicating oneself completely to Krishna and everything one's doing. Material nature has been distracting us for a long time. Even as devotees, we become distracted. But to come to the purified platform takes many, many, a lot of experience. And a lot of practice and a lot of mercy. Anything else? Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.